We are about to make radio history right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown, still on my way to Singapore, but something very special is about to take place. My dear friend Scott Volk, fellow Jewish believer, leader of Together for Israel, colleague for many years, he's joined me on the broadcast for the first time. He is now our host. Welcome, Scott.
Woohoo! My day has finally come. It's such a joy to be on the Line of Fire. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for giving me the privilege of hosting the show today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Volk. It's been my privilege to be working with Dr. Brown for a number of years, and I've had the privilege of being on Line of Fire numerous times. However, this is my first time hosting his show. Actually, it's my first time hosting any show. So please be in agreement with me that I won't press any wrong buttons or start sneezing uncontrollably while I'm on the air. For those of you who don't know my story, I met Dr. Brown back in 1995, and I've been working closely with him ever since. In 1997, it was my privilege to serve as his personal assistant, where we had the amazing privilege of serving together in Pensacola and also traveling around the world, just about every continent. And as I bet you can imagine, I have some pretty cool Dr. Brown stories that I may tell while on the air, especially with our first guest who's going to be on in a little while. I have the privilege of overseeing a ministry called Together for Israel, which is a ministry that supports the believers in Israel, as well as raising awareness in the church regarding God's heart for Israel. You can contact me anytime online at togetherforisrael.org. You can sign up for our free newsletter. I would love for you to stop by and do that. And also, you can check out our Facebook page, which is both Together for Israel, as well as a very, very interesting page called 1 Minute for Israel, which is a Facebook community of believers who commit to praying 1 minute a day for the peace of Jerusalem. Amazingly, in a little over a month and a half, we have over 15,000 people who've logged on to that and then are spreading the message around the world with regard to praying for Israel. And speaking of Israel, it's our joy to have a guest from Israel. Our lines will be open all day today for both hours, and I want to encourage you to call in on this first hour. All things Israel, any question that you have, nothing is off the table. The number is 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And it's my privilege to introduce someone who's not a stranger to this radio program. Calling directly from Tel Aviv, Israel, is my friend Ron Cantor. Ron, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm a little nervous. Dr. Brown said at the beginning, did I hear correctly, that we're about to make radio history?
Ron, Dr. Brown did say that, and what makes you so nervous, my friend?
Well, I think you might have set his sights a little high, at least for this first hour. Maybe in your second hour, you will make history, but I'm not so sure about this hour.
Well, we're going to make radio history because I think your mother is probably listening, and my mother is listening. So Line of Fire history. We just added 2 new listeners for the show today. Well, Ron, just in the next 30 or 40 seconds, do a brief introduction for our listeners before we go into our break. What are you doing in Israel? How long have you been there? And then we'll catch on the other side of the break some real pertinent questions.
Well, I live in Tel Aviv, Israel. I, along with my great friend and mentor, Asher.
And Ron, we're making radio history because I get to cut you off, baby. Thanks for listening to Line of Fire. Join us after the break. We're going to hear more from Ron Cantor in Israel. We love that you're listening and can't wait to catch you on the other side of the break.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Haha, well, I wish I was more like Dr. Brown, but the privilege that I have is hosting his show while he is in Singapore, and he just finished a grueling 2 or 3 weeks of intensive ministry, flew over to Singapore, and now is going to be facing another 2 weeks of intense ministry. So I just really want to encourage you Line of Fire listeners to be praying for Dr. Brown, holding up his arms as he's spreading the gospel around the world. And what a privilege I have today to be hosting his radio program. It's a joy also to have my dear friend and also Dr. Brown's dear friend, Ron Cantor, who is with us from Israel. Ron, I'm so sorry for cutting you off at that first break.
Is the interview over?
No, brother. We're just listening. And actually, believe it or not, Dr. Brown is listening from Singapore.
Oh, great. Well, Singapore is a great place. I was there a couple years ago. What a beautiful country. Revival is there. Really on fire place.
Yeah, well, let's make sure we continue to hold up Dr. Brown's arms and pray for him while he's there. But I just want to ask you a question, bro. You and I are about the same age. Why would you, living a comfortable lifestyle in the United States, pick up with your young children and your wife and move to Israel? What on earth lured you there?
Well, that's a question I ask myself virtually every day. Why in the world did I do this? But in truth, it was one of the greatest decisions we ever made. And the reason we moved here is, in theologically, is the Bible says eventually all Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26 says in Zechariah 12:10 that God will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication on Jerusalem. They'll recognize Yeshua as the Messiah. There's going to be a great end times Jewish revival, and quite frankly, I wanted to be a part of it. But I remember when I was, I just married my wife, Ilana, or we were about to be married, and she's a native-born Israeli. She grew up, born in Jerusalem, raised in Ashkelon, really right near the Gaza Strip. And I saw Sid Roth. We all worked in the same area. Dr. Brown was part of the gang back then. And Sid Roth said to me, he said, well, now you've got to move to Israel because you're marrying a Sabra, a native-born Israeli. And I got kind of mad at him. Like, what do you mean? I am not moving to Israel. Well, a few years later, my father gave me a book called From Beirut to Jerusalem. And it's Thomas L. Friedman, New York Times writer, a pretty liberal guy. But it was more stories about his time living in Beirut and then his time living in Jerusalem. And I was mesmerized, it's easy for me to say, by his stories of living in Israel. And I said, I want to live there. That's not just because I'm a Jewish believer. I just fell in love with the character of the people that he was describing. And so the first time we came in 1991, we rented a car, Ilana and I, we drove all over the country. And when I got on the plane to go home, she stayed a couple weeks to be with her family. When I got on the plane to go home, I just wept and wept and wept and just for the next 12 years begged the Lord to send us there to live. And
wow.
Finally, in 2003, we moved to Israel.
Amazing. How old were your children when you moved over there, Ron?
My oldest was 14, Sharon, and then Yael was 11, and Danielle was 9.
And how did they respond to the move? I mean, I can't imagine picking up young children and moving them over to Israel. I mean, what was their response like?
Well, when we told them we were moving, and we had been telling them for years that one day we might move to Israel, but when we told them, sitting in our living room in beautiful Richmond, Virginia, where that amazing picture was taken the other day, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but a cloud formation, literally with colors and everything, like the flag of United States of America. Go to my Facebook page if you want to see it. But sitting there in Richmond, sharing with them that we were moving to Israel, they all three simultaneously burst into tears. So that was a little difficult. And then when we actually moved, I remember our first day here, and jet lag can play tricks on your mind.
Right.
We were all exhausted, and I just thought, what in the world have I done? I am the worst father in the world. And I began to think of ways I could tell all of our supporters that had helped us to get over here how I could tell them it was a test. God was just testing me like Abraham, and I'm coming back to America to minister. It was hard that first day, but, you know, the next day, the grace of God came. We hit the ground running. We love being here. We love our congregation. We love seeing Israelis come to faith. It has its challenges, but it's a joy to be here.
So awesome, bro. I just want to remind our listeners, we will be taking calls today with Ron. There are no questions that are off the table. I want some of you to stump Ron with some real serious questions regarding Israel. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Israel is kind of in the heart of controversy wherever you look, Ron, in the news, everywhere. It's amazing that that little strip of land would be at the heart of contention throughout the nations. What is it about Israel that you think makes it the bullseye of the target of journalists, of people who want to disparage Israel? What's so important about Israel?
Well, the obvious reason is that God raised up Israel as his chosen people to be a light to the nations. And he has made tremendous promises about an end times revival in Israel, amongst Israelis, and Satan, the devil, is threatened by that. He'll do everything he can, anything he can, to destroy the Jewish people. We saw what happened in the Holocaust. I mean, how does a entire continent give up its Jewish people to death? 11 million Jews, in Europe, 6 million of them dying in the Holocaust. And then, so shortly after that, the nations are again against the Jewish people. So I think there are some natural reasons, but I think the correct reason is a supernatural reason, that because God loves Israel, Satan hates Israel, and will do everything he can to turn the world against the Jewish people, which is sad because God has raised up the nations to bless Israel, and when they curse Israel, they come under a curse. God
Amazing.
Has
yep.
created a mutual blessing between Israel and the nations, but we miss out on that when the nations come against the Jewish people.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, when you're talking about a hatred for the Jewish people, I'm just reminded of that scripture in the book of Esther, where Haman just really comes against the people of Israel. And
right.
Listen to this scripture, friends. This is the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain." Ron, it sounds like
right.
you're taking a shower over there, bro. Let me just read verse 9. "If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed." Destroyed! There is
right.
a diabolical plot to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And as a believer in Jesus Yeshua, it is amazing that both of our eyes have been opened to God's heart for Israel. And it's just a joy to have you on the show today. We're going to get back with some more questions, but maybe we can take a call or two before this break. And I want to go to Doug in Warren County, New Jersey, who's listening today. Doug, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're coming up to a break, so go ahead and ask your question quickly, and we might be able to get
okay.
to it on the other side of the break.
For one, I was wondering, I don't have a Bible with me, but there's prophecies about Israel being taken, two-thirds of it, and the women being ravaged, and the whole thing is a remnant of Israel is going to be saved. So I just didn't know. Early believers around Irenaeus and them, I think, thought that the Antichrist would come out of Israel, too. So I just what your thoughts on that are.
Okay, well, I want you to listen on the other side of the break, Doug, and I'm going to have Ron answer that question. And friends, I just want to encourage you, you who listen into the Line of Fire regularly, Dr. Brown is one of the most amazing men that I know, and he gives and gives and gives to make this radio program all that it is. It's such a joy for me to be guest hosting today for him. Please be praying for him as he's in Singapore serving the Lord. And I want to also encourage you to go to the website, askdrbrown.org, where there's an amazing special that they're offering for Line of Fire listeners. Askdrbrown.org. Click on the special, and you'll have three amazing pieces of literature that will change your life. After the break, we're back with Ron Cantor.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are so blessed to have Ron Cantor on the line with us for this special edition of Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, which will be our first hour, and Ron and I are, in fact, thoroughly Jewish. Isn't that right, Ron?
Yes, but I do believe it's Tuesday.
Yes, it is Tuesday, but that's why this is a special edition of Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Okay, great. Now, we have Doug holding on the line, and Doug, I just want to have you re-ask that question, and if you can do it succinctly, that would be really, really great. And you can turn your radio down, Doug, if you would.
You got to take it. And my wife starts heading west, and it'll take you to.
Okay, Ron. I don't think Doug is with us, so we are just going to answer his question without him. Can you,
sure.
if you remember, he was talking about the ravage that's
yes.
coming and a future trouble that he is saying the Bible predicts. Can you just address that and the whole issue of Israel being saved?
Yeah, well, I believe he's referring to two passages, Zechariah 13 and then Zechariah 14. They most likely refer to the same judgment that will come against Israel in the end times. In verse 8 of chapter 13, it says, "The whole land declares the Lord, two-thirds will be struck down and perish, yet one-third will be left in it. This third I will put into the fire, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold." And then it says, "They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God." So in this passage, it does clearly speak about a judgment coming against the Jewish people in the end times, and that those who survive that judgment, which will number in the millions, because there are about 15 million Jewish people on earth today. In Israel, there's 7 million Jewish people. So even a third of that is over 2 million people. They'll call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer them. And then it says in the very next chapter, "A day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered, divided up within your very walls. I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city." And then
and
in
you're
verse
saying-
3, it says,
Ron, you're saying that that's something yet still future, is that right?
I believe so, yeah. Well, it's the day of the Lord. It's the second coming, I believe, because the very next verse says, "Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on the day of battle, and on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem." So, and then the rest of Zechariah 14 is really about Yeshua taking over the world, setting up his messianic kingdom that will go from Jerusalem to the nations. Verse 16 says that all the nations will then, or at least delegations from those nations, will come to Jerusalem to worship Yeshua. And then if you combine that with Revelation 19, I actually believe that Zechariah 14 is, let me just finish up with the gentleman's question. Yes, there will be judgment, but there will also be revival just after that. And we're already seeing the eyes of Jewish people opening all over the world. You're an example of that. I'm an example of that. Your parents are an example of that.
Yeah, it's really, so, it's it, It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And I'm wondering if you might just be able to touch on that very, very briefly. When you say we're seeing the eyes of Jewish people opening around the world, can you give Line of Fire listeners just an update as to what's going on in Israel right now? You're involved in a local congregation there, and I see reports coming through frequently of Jewish people who are visiting the congregation, coming into contact with people who are part of your congregation, and confessing Yeshua, Jesus, as Lord. Is that really happening?
Absolutely. It's not what I would call revival. You and I both served together in Pensacola, and we saw genuine revival. We're not there yet, but we are seeing a steady flow of people coming to faith, Israelis coming to Yeshua, being discipled, being raised up into leadership. It's grunt work. It's hard work, but there's tremendous grace, and it's happening here in Israel, not just in our congregation and congregations all over the country, but you have to understand that we're about 15,000 strong, the body of believers here in Israel, but that's out of 7 million Jewish people.
Right.
So we still have a ways to go, but in 1948, there were only 25 Jewish believers in the country. When Israel became a nation, there were 29, and they offered all of them to leave the country. They got them visas to other countries. Yes. 25 said no. So when Israel became a nation, only 25 identifiable to this country. Now there's over 15,000.
What a remarkable, remarkable move of the Lord. I mean, that's phenomenal. You know, some people would ask, why would a comfortable man in America move his family and young children over to Israel? But when you can see that kind of fruit coming out of you moving there, but not just you, many, many others who have moved that way to be a light in the nation and return to their homeland. That's an amazing testimony of the Lord's faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. And we love it here. I don't look at it as a sacrifice that, oh, we're suffering in Israel. This is my son. I've been here 11 years. I've got a passport. The culture. I love the holidays. You know, I go to the grocery store in America because you'll see at least two or three arguments. You'll have great conversation with people. In America, grocery store. I come in Israel. I come home with groceries and story letters. Because, I mean, somebody might yell at me for thinking I have more than 10 in the quick line. Somebody might hit me with their grocery cart by accident. Every ADD or ADHD, which I am diagnosed with, by the way, culture. I was born to be in this fast-paced, aggressive culture, and I love it. I love the people, and we're going to see more fruit in the future.
Yes, amen. And I want you to stick with us over the break. We have some folks holding on the line with some great questions that we're going to get to.
Great.
And right before the break, I just want to let our listeners know that this week Dr. Brown is offering three resources that were born out of the very fires of revival that Ron was just talking about in Pensacola. You can get all three at a huge discount. This special resource package includes Dr. Brown's acclaimed book, The Revival Answer Book, which, by the way, I just gave away last night, The End of the Gospel Enterprise, along with a life-changing message entitled Holy Desperation on CD. And these three resources will stir you with passion and purpose. You can get the special bundle today for the incredibly discounted price of just $15, postage paid. All you have to do is go to Dr. Brown's website, www.askdrbrown.com. .org. What an amazing privilege it is for me to host this show while Dr. Brown is in Singapore. Let's remember to be praying for him as he's giving out for the gospel over in Singapore. And I want to encourage you, call in with your calls. Let's try to stump Ron with some very tough, controversial questions where Israel is concerned. Thanks so much for listening. Stick with us on the other side of the break. We'll be back with Ron Hunter.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listening. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. You faithful listeners might say, well, Dr. Brown sounds a little bit different today. And that's because I am not Dr. Brown. He's currently in Singapore preaching the gospel and asked me if I would host the show today. This is Scott Volk, and I am so blessed to be here with my friend Ron Cantor calling directly from Israel into the show. I want to start off with a clip. Joey, we're going to go to clip number 6. And Ron, I want you to listen to this. And then I want to respond to this before we get to our callers. Ron, listen to this as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu likens Hamas and ISIS together. Go ahead, Joey.
Hamas is like ISIS. Hamas is like Al-Qaeda. Hamas is like Hezbollah. Hamas is like Boko Haram. And there are so many other of these Islamist groups that defy modernity, that reject pluralism, that reject respect of human rights, that use their own people as human shields, that attack indiscriminately civilians. This is part of a larger pattern.
Oh my goodness, he's saying that ISIS and Hamas are one in the same? Would you agree with that?
Are you asking
Ron?
Me?
Yes, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. You're the only one on the air with me right now, my friend, and we're making radio history.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Would I agree with him? Absolutely. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They are ideologically inclined with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, with Boko Haram. They kill innocent people. Let's just forget Israel for a minute. Let's forget the fact that they sent 3,500 rockets into civilian areas in July and August. Just look what they did to their own people. They shot rockets from neighborhoods, from schools, from hospitals. The Hamas leadership was hiding during the entire conflict under a hospital. They, you know, Israel uses their military to protect the civilians. Hamas uses civilians to protect themselves. They shot dozens of PLO. I can't believe the day has come that we're feeling sorry for the PLO that was birthed as a terrorist organization themselves. But they would go to the house during the war, the houses of PLO activists, and shoot them in the legs so they could not leave their houses. You've heard about the tunnels that have been,
right.
dug. Well, they were dug by typical Gazans just seeking to make a living, and Hamas, out of fear that some of them might tell Israel where the tunnels are, murdered dozens of them.
Well, it's crazy, Ron. It's absolutely crazy. I see people in an outrage right now. We're coming up to a break in a minute, but I see people in an outrage now against ISIS because they're viewing these beheadings, maybe not viewing them, but hearing about these beheadings, and the world is outraged against ISIS. Why don't you think that we have that outrage against Hamas?
Because the Hamas is perceived as an oppressed people, part of the Palestinian people. Israel is the big oppressor, even though Israel, listen, we have peace with Egypt today, and we gave them a huge chunk of land, the entire Sinai Desert. All we wanted is peace. We would have peace today with the Palestinians if not for terrorism. You probably don't know it, Scott, but at the very same time that the operation was going on against Hamas here in Israel, Pakistan had to attack a certain region of their country that was infested with terrorists. Do you know that almost the same number of innocent civilians died there? And
amazing.
Nobody's talking about it.
Absolutely amazing. Well, on the other side of the break, we're going to come back with more from Ron Cantor in Israel. Aaron and Nancy, you're holding. We're going to get your calls. Thank you so much today for listening to Line of Fire. We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
Fire we want, for fire we It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this special edition of Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. But wait, you're saying it's actually Tuesday, and you are right. It is Tuesday, but this is a special edition of Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I'm Scott Volk with the privilege of guest hosting for my dear friend, Michael Brown, as he is in Singapore. He'll be on the air with you tomorrow, but I am just so blessed to be here today. Now, since Dr. Brown has given me reins to be able to do whatever I wanted on the air, I just got a text from my son, Joseph, who's sitting in the Sacramento airport, asking me if I would give a shout out to him. So, Joe, buddy, here's your shout out, my friend. Anybody else that wants a shout out, I can't promise that I'm going to do it. Just text me and we'll see who is lucky enough for the shout out. Ron Cantor, live from Israel. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, we've got a couple people waiting on the call and on the lines, and then I want to get back to just a couple more things regarding ISIS and Hamas and how believers in the United States can stand with Israel. So let's first go to Nancy. Nancy, you've been on hold for a while from Brooklyn, New York. Nancy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. God bless you all. Terrific program. My question was for Ron. I read Identity Theft. And I'd like to know if he has another sequel coming.
Oh, Nancy, that's a great question. So the prolific author, Ron, by the way, Ron, who's written more books, you or Dr. Michael Brown?
You know, it's just too many to count. I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, so instead of counting all your books, let's just respond to the one that she happened to read, Identity Theft, which, by the way, I was privileged to read even before it came out. It's a great book. Do you have any other books that you're planning on writing?
Let me first say, I could never keep up with Dr. Brown. He goes into an airport lounge and comes out with a new book. I've never seen anybody who writes as prolifically as Dr. Brown. But we did write a book a couple years ago called Identity Theft. It's a novel about the Jewish roots of the faith. I didn't intend for it to be a novel. I wrote it as a teaching book, but right before we sent it into the publisher, I sensed the Lord wanted me to change it to a novel. He gave me an idea. I did it, and it seems that most people who read it really like it. If you want to read the first two chapters for free, go to www.idtheftbook.com. So in answer to your question, Nancy, from Brooklyn, yes, I'm actually working on it right now. I'm hoping to finish the manuscript to the sequel. It is a trilogy, so I'm under contract to write two more. So I hope to have it finished, the manuscript, by the end of the month, and hopefully it will be out. Destiny Image is publishing it. Should be out by spring or summer.
Wonderful. That's good to hear. My best wishes and blessings to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for calling, Nancy. Really appreciate you listening and calling in. Ron, we're going to go to Aaron from Spring Hill, Florida. Aaron, you're on the air on The Line of Fire.
All right, Ron, Scott, thank you guys so much for taking my call. This is the perfect day, I think, to ask a Jewish question. So I'm glad I waited.
Awesome. Awesome. Go for it, brother.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I grew up in a very fundamental dispensational church. And so my question is in regards to the promises, the covenants made to Israel and also made to the church. And so when I was growing up, you know, I was taught that there's a huge distinction that, you know, you have Israel, the nation of Israel, and you have the church. And it's different promises, different things, completely separate. Then I go to Bible college and I hear about something called covenant theology and, you know, how all the promises that are made to the nation of Israel are now supposedly to the church. You know, Romans 9, Paul says, not all of those who are descendants of Abraham are from Israel, but the spiritual descendants. And so I'm just trying to make sense of, you know, what promises apply to who, where does the church fit into that, and what part does the nation of Israel still have? Thank you so much.
Yeah, Aaron, absolutely great question. Ron, how would you address that?
I don't know.
Maybe we can get Dr. Brown on the line in Singapore to answer that question.
I sure hope so. No, it's a great question, and it's a very pertinent question today because more and more evangelicals are wrestling with the issue of, should we support Israel? Is Israel really a prophetic fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham? There's folks teaching a new theology called fulfillment theology, which is not in the Bible, but it teaches that all the promises to Israel were fulfilled in Yeshua when he died and rose from the dead. Of course, that makes no sense, because there's promises about God bringing a remnant back to the physical land of Israel. There's promises about the second coming that haven't happened yet. So not all the promises of the old covenant have been fulfilled. That makes no sense. The truth of the matter is, we wrote a series of blogs that you can find on my website, messiahsmandate.org. We took a message by one of the leading fulfillment replacement theologians, Gary Burge, Dr. Gary Burge, and we went through his message really line by line and refuted it using the scriptures. The fact of the matter is that God loves the nations. He raised up Israel, Isaiah 42 and 49, to be a light to the nations. Psalm 67 says that God's light would shine on Israel so that the nations would know. God has always loved the nations, but his vehicle to reach the nations was Israel and ultimately the Jewish Messiah. So it's not, who does God like better, the Jews or the Jews? He loves every nation, but he put a special call on Israel that is eternal. When God says that I will never reject Israel for all she's done, Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37, says only when the sun stops shining and the moon stops giving off its light, only then will I reject Israel. Well, that hasn't happened yet. So it is impossible for God to lie. We know that from scriptures. And he's made dozens and dozens of promises regarding the restoration of the Jewish people. But God also loves the church. And ultimately, the covenant that God made with Israel are still valid today. But the only covenant that promises eternal life to Jew or to Gentile is the new covenant. So while God's favor rests on Israel today, and we can see that by the very fact that I'm alive here in the country of Israel, despite being surrounded by 1.5 billion folks who would like us to be gone, God's covenant remains in effect towards Israel today. It's only through Yeshua the Messiah that Jew or Gentile can find eternal life. There are folks who have written books on this. It's hard to answer that. I'd love to take a whole hour and answer that question, but you really, in order to believe replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel, you have to make God out to be a liar or involved in trickery, that he makes all these promises, then he says, I was just kidding, it's actually to the church. It just doesn't make sense.
Thanks so much for calling, Aaron. And Ron, that was awesome, really, really spot on. It's we're living in a crazy day because here we are standing and believing God for salvation in Israel. And then we've got people coming against us saying, well, wait a second, Israel doesn't even have a place in God's end time purposes anymore. And it's prolific around the body of Christ today. I'd like to talk just a little bit more about this Hamas-ISIS thing and then go into some pertinent questions regarding the current Palestinian issues and some of the things that we're hearing from mainline evangelical churches where their hearts are turning against Israel and turning more towards the people who are governed by Hamas, which Netanyahu and you also say is the same thing as ISIS. Let me just read something from the Hamas charter. And the Hamas, we've got to remember this, friends, that Hamas is the organization that's ruling in Gaza. Isn't that correct, Ron? Hamas is ruling in Gaza?
Okay. Yes, through an armed takeover, not through election, as much of the media reports.
That's
they
very
overpowered.
Yep. That's an excellent point. So listen, I read a while ago what was written in God's word that Haman said in Esther 3 about wiping out Israel. Listen to what Hamas says. This is in their charter, friends. Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Another one. Our struggle against the Jews is a very great and serious one. It needs all sincere efforts. Listen to this, Ron, Article 6. The Islamic Resistance Movement is a distinguished Palestinian movement whose allegiance is to Allah and whose way of life is Islam. It strives to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine. Brother, how can people be taking up the cause for Hamas against Israel when it's written so clearly in their charter that they have one purpose, and that purpose is to prove the God of Jeremiah, the scripture that you read, a liar? We're going to get to that question and many others on the other side of the break. Friends, thanks so much for listening to today's Line of Fire. We're taking your calls at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. We'll talk to you on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, welcome to this special edition of Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on Tuesday. I'm Scott Volk. Our guest today on the Line of Fire is Ron Cantor from Israel. I'm hosting while my good friend Dr. Brown is ministering in Singapore. Now, he's going to be on the air with us tomorrow live, so you'll be able to catch Dr. Brown tomorrow at the regularly scheduled time. But I just want to encourage you to call in with your questions. We've got Ron Cantor from Israel on the line. And before I get into my questions, Ron, regarding Bethlehem and the Palestinian uprisings that we're seeing, I just want to take one more quick call. Anne from Huntersville, North Carolina, is on the line. Anne, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome, Scott, and you're doing a magnificent job.
Well, Anne, thank you. Thank you so much. You need to send a note to Dr. Michael Brown and say, Scott is the bomb.
He is the best. I just wanted to say quickly that I think Israel, obviously, to me anyway, is very significant still in prophecy, because I was reading in my one-year Bible, the Old Testament section, the last couple of days. I don't have a scripture because I'm in my car. I have to get off at the exit 18, but the point is, I was reading about Assyria, Egypt, and Israel, and it's prophetic because it says that they will flow together like a road, like a river. I can't remember exactly all, I didn't memorize it, but it does say, it specifies each one, Assyria, my people, Egypt, my something or other, but the bottom line is, it also says, Israel, my inheritance. And to me, it's a no-brainer as a Christian, one who believes in Yeshua, you know, it is an absolute no-brainer that Israel is significant to God, and that more and more people are coming to Christ in Israel. And so I thought it was very profound to read that these three nations will worship the Lord together, but that Israel is God's
inheritance. You make a very, very good point there. If the promises to Egypt are still valid, and the promises to Assyria are still valid, mm-hmm. then obviously the promises to Israel and the Jewish people are still valid.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent point. Thanks so much, Anne, for calling. Don't forget to shoot Dr. Brown that email letting him know how wonderful Scott Volk is.
I won't, but... And this is Ann Ault saying goodbye.
Oh, Ann Ault, ha-ha, bye-bye, nice talking to you.
You too, Scotty, bye-bye.
Lord bless you, my friend. See that, Ron? I have fans all over the country who are calling in today just to listen to you and me.
It's growing exponentially.
Growing exponentially. It's gone from 2 to 4 in a matter of 4 years, brother. So we're making some headway. So listen, we've got Hamas ruling in Gaza. We've got controversy in Bethlehem. You know, a number of years mm-hmm. ago, a fence was built. In some parts, it's a wall. Some people call it a wall. Some people call it a fence. And there's a movement now, even within evangelical churches in the United States, to take a side. that would be called, quote unquote, pro-Palestinian. Now, listeners, I just want to say something. I don't really like the term pro-Palestinian or pro-Israel because it gives the feeling that God is for one people and against another. Ron, would you say that God is pro-Israel?
Well, first let me say that we have a free book online called The 15 Most Important Facts About the Israel-Palestinian Conflict. If you go to roncan.net/15FACTS, 15 Facts, you can get that book free. And we deal with a lot of these questions. I think God is pro-Israel, but I don't think he's anti-Arab. The word Palestinian is a bit of a misnomer because until the PLO was created in 1964, there was no such thing as a Palestinian nationality. Palestine was a region in this part of the world, in the Middle East, making up pretty much all of modern-day Israel and Jordan. And it was a name given to this region by the Romans that had nothing to do with Arabs that would one day come here. So now if you want to start a new group and say we're Palestinians, that's fine. Just don't pretend that you've been here for 300, 400, 500 years or 2,000 years. I have heard Yasser Arafat say that Jesus was the first Palestinian, which really makes no sense because he had no children. But these are the things thrown out. So, yes, God is pro-Israel, but he loves the Arabs who live here as well. And he wants to see them saved and living in peace and unity with the Jewish people here.
Which, interestingly, goes back to Anne's scripture in the book of Isaiah that Israel is inextricably bound with Egypt and Syria in the end. I mean, it's an amazing thought. Plus, you may know this, Ron, but to our listeners, as a full-blooded Jew, I am married to a full-blooded Arab. We live together in our house in harmony. I really think, bro, that that's a picture of things to come in the end. Jew and Gentile, sons of Ishmael and sons of Isaac together, really as one new man. How amazing is that going to be, and what a demonstration to the world?
Well, absolutely. We have Palestinian ministries that we support, our larger ministry, Revive Israel and Tikkun. We support these ministries. We get behind them. They're evangelical. They're preaching the gospel. Many of them love Israel. Most of them love Israel. And so God is already doing that. Now, we also have other elements within the Palestinian Christian community that are very anti-Israel. One group recently accused Israel. These are supposed evangelical born-again believers out of Bethlehem, accused Israel of genocide. And they embrace replacement theology. They don't believe that Israel is a fulfillment. We still meet with these brothers, and we see, in fact, I probably shouldn't talk about this slide, but let me just say, in the near future, we have a planned meeting between Israeli leaders and leaders in their community. They've been hosting a conference every 2 years called Christ to the Checkpoint. To their credit, for the past couple years, they've invited some leading messianic thinkers in the world to come give their side. But the conference is decidedly anti-Israel, makes it very clear that the Palestinians are an oppressed people because of Israel, whereas I would proclaim that they're an oppressed people because of the PLO and because of Hamas.
Yep. So I want to encourage our listeners, Ron, it's so awesome that you would join me today. Thank you for helping me make radio history on
we
the
did
air.
It, man.
We did it. And trust me, bro, we're taking over. Don't tell Dr. Brown, but we're taking over. So thank you so much.
We have people on the ground in Singapore taking him into custody.
Thanks so much for joining us, Ron. And listeners, if you want to get in touch with Ron, you can go to messiahsmandate.org. Is that correct, Ron?
That is correct, or just use roncantor.com. And Scott, I want to say you're a natural.
Ah, Ron, I love you, brother. Friends, stay with us on the other side of the hour. We're going to have an amazing guest as well as open phones. Dr. R.T. Kendall is going to be with us, the author of Total Forgiveness. Thanks for listening today on The Line of Fire.
We are about to make radio history right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown, still on my way to Singapore, but something very special is about to take place. My dear friend Scott Volk, fellow Jewish believer, leader of Together for Israel, colleague for many years, he's joined me on the broadcast for the first time. He is now our host. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown, friends who are listening, and people who have never heard of me before. My name is Scott Volk, and you are listening to The Line of Fire. What an amazing, amazing privilege I have to be hosting the show today. I want you, like I said in the first hour, to uphold me in prayer, just so that I don't, I've never hosted a show before, so this is like my maiden voyage. So if we're going to make radio history, you can make it with us. I want to encourage you this hour. We're going to be attacking a subject that I think is pertinent to absolutely everyone, and that subject is forgiveness. How many of you listeners have been hurt, maybe even by the church, and have been walking in a place of unforgiveness? Or if you scratch yourself deep enough, you would admit to being bitter because of the way you've been treated. Our guest, who will be with us in a few short minutes, has written a groundbreaking book that's been out for well over a decade on the issue of forgiveness. Our lines are open. I want you to call 866-348-7884. That's 866-348-7884. What do you think about forgiveness? How do you respond when people hurt you? And what do you think God desires our response to be? I want to read just an amazing passage of scripture spoken by Jesus on the Mount of Beatitudes. His disciples were gathering around him, and he was teaching Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, incredible, incredible words. And then Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. So he says in verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You all know this prayer. Sometimes we read it over because it's so familiar. Listen to these words. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now get this, friends. "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Now look at this. "For if you forgive men their transgression, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you." Do you hear that? That is an incredible, incredible word that Jesus just gave. And it sounds a little bit harsh if you're not really familiar with this scripture. God says that he will forgive us to the degree that we forgive one another. You may be listening today. You say, "Scott, you don't know what I've been through." Friend, God knows what you've been through. And to walk in freedom means forgiving, even as Jesus has forgiven you. I want you to stay tuned. On the other side of the break, we're going to have an amazing author, R.T. Kendall, with us. Our lines are open. Call in today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much, friends, for listening to The Line of Fire today. This is Scott Volk, privileged to guest host for my dear friend, Dr. Michael Brown, who is in Singapore preaching the gospel. Our lines are open. We're going to be taking your calls today at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. I'm going to reread that scripture that I read right before the break, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. After Jesus taught his disciples the words of the famous prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus only reiterates one part of the prayer, and it's the part on forgiveness. Listen, friends, for if you forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you. That seems slightly harsh to me if you look at it on the surface. You know, when Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, if I could give you the Scott Volk paraphrase, I would say that we're actually praying to God, asking him to forgive us to the degree that we forgive one another. Forgiveness is an amazing, amazing gift that God has given us to free us of the very things that have held us captive. So today, I am so privileged to have on the line of fire as my guest, Dr. R.T. Kendall. Dr. Kendall has more letters after his name that he doesn't talk about, but he's been to Tribeca Nazarene University. He graduated from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He graduated from the University of Louisville, Oxford University. Dr. Kendall, oh my goodness, thank you for talking to a dum-dum like me.
Well, you make me feel so important. I'm not sure I could continue.
Brother, well, for our listeners, I just want to fill them in a little bit. Dr. Kendall, RT, as he prefers to be called, I called him yesterday and just said, how would you like to be called on the air? Because we could call Dr. Kendall any number of very, very profound things. And he just said, RT is how
no,
I would like.
What I, you, I told you. I wanted to be called Your Holiness.
Oh, yes, you did. That's absolutely right.
Respect.
I wasn't sure whether you wanted me to reiterate that live, both to our live listening audience as well as our internet listening audience. But Your Eminence, it is so awesome to have you with us today.
I'm thrilled to be with you, and sorry that Michael's not there, but I'm glad to be talking to you and give him my fond greetings.
I will definitely do that. He's currently in Singapore ministering over there. You are the author of over 60 books. How do you do that?
Well, you've got to remember, I was minister at Westminster Chapel for 25 years, and I preached over 4,000 times.
Amazing.
And so many of those sermons make books. So it's not quite as dramatic as it might appear, because I have been able to make some of those. Take my book, God Meant It for Good. Uh-huh. That is a series of sermons on the life of Joseph, preached on Sunday nights back in the 80s. So I could, my book, Who by Faith or Believe in God, is Hebrews chapter 11. Mm. But that said, there are probably 20, 25 books that I've actually written from start and sat at the typewriter.
Well, that's awesome. I have a dear friend in this city. His name is Pastor Robin McMillan, and he was free enough to send me a list of questions that he always asks when he's sitting down with men and women of God. So would you permit me to ask you one question that my friend Robin McMillan sent me?
I honestly don't mind what you ask.
Okay.
Anything.
All right, my friend.
What city are you in? Where are you?
We're actually, our studios are in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So if you were to limit your favorite preacher to one person, RT, who would you say your favorite preacher is?
Martin Lloyd-Jones.
And why would you say that? And for our listeners who don't know who Martin Lloyd-Jones is or who or what Westminster Chapel is, why don't you let them know why Martin Lloyd-Jones and what Westminster Chapel is and why it's so significant?
Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones is, I think, by almost anybody's standard, the greatest preacher in the 20th century, maybe ever. Mm. He was minister of Westminster Chapel for 30 years. He was put there by G. Campbell Morgan, who in Campbell Morgan's day was considered, you know, top of the line. And then he put Martin Lloyd-Jones there at Westminster Chapel, and he stayed 30 years. And then a few years later, Martin Lloyd-Jones put me there.
Wow.
So the reason I became minister of Westminster Chapel is because of Dr. Lloyd-Jones.
Amazing.
Westminster Chapel is historically a congregational church. It's independent, but it came out of the Congregational Union many years ago, and they're basically just an independent evangelical church just a block away from Buckingham Palace, and their address is Buckingham Gate, London.
Amazing. And is it true that you were there 25 years to the day?
That is correct. I started on February 1st, 1977, and my retirement ended February 1st, 2002. 25
Incredible.
Years to the day.
Incredible. What a testimony of somebody sticking with a congregation for 25 years. I don't know what the average...
No, the other way around. They stuck with me.
Oh, they stuck with you. I really like you, RT. I really like you. We need to get together sometime.
Right.
Well, you've written those 60-some-odd books. I wish I had read more of them, but I did read...
Oh, now, wait a minute. If you
yes.
haven't read them all, you're not qualified to interview me. I only talk to those who've read all 60 of my books.
Oh, RT, well, I can flat out guarantee you that as a result of our conversation today, I will be buying some RT Kendall books, unless, of course, you would like to personally sign some and just send them my way.
The only person who's read all my books is my editor, so don't worry.
Have you read them? That's a big question, too.
That's a very good question. Have I read them? Yeah, I have, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
there are 3 times before I turn them over to the publisher.
Yeah, that's awesome. Unfortunately, there are some authors who've never read their own books, but we're not going to go there today. The one book that really had an impact on me, and the reason I got the book was because of a message that I saw you preach on YouTube in London, is a book called Total Forgiveness. Can you talk to us maybe just a little bit about the story of why you wrote that book? And then on the other side of the break, which is still a couple of minutes away, we're going to get into specifics with regard to that book. But tell us, what's so special about your book, Total Forgiveness?
Well, I don't know that I'm qualified to tell you why it's special. I can say, first of all, that it is my best seller. I think it's in 20 languages and
Amazing.
Maybe 400,000 copies.
Wow.
And the reason it is special, if you are right, is because everybody has a problem in this area. There's not a person listening at the moment who has not had some upheaval in their lives.
Yes.
Where they've had to forgive somebody for some injustice, some hurt. So that happened to me. And it was while I was at Westminster Chapel. I won't tell you the year. I don't want anybody to be able to trace it and figure out what it was, because I won't tell. But I can only say that what was at the time the greatest trial that my wife Louise and I had ever gone through was while I was at Westminster Chapel. What happened was unfair. It was right. It was not right. It was unjust. And I was angry. I was bitter. And an old friend from Romania, his name is Joseph Tsone, happened to be in London. And because I knew he wouldn't tell anybody, I decided to tell Joseph exactly what happened. I hid nothing from him. And if I'm honest, the reason that I told him everything is because I thought he would put his arm around me and say, RT, you ought to be angry. Get it out of your system. But instead, he just looked at me and said, is there anything more? I said, no, that's it. I wasn't prepared for what followed. If I could narrow 25 years in London down to 15 minutes, it's when Joseph Tsone looked at me and said, RT, you must totally forgive them.
Amazing. On the other side of...
Totally forgive them. You
amazing.
Will be in chains. Release
amazing.
Them. And you will be released.
On the other side of the break, we're going to hear more of this incredible story with RT Kendall. Our phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for listening, friends. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown today while he is in Singapore. He'll be with you live tomorrow on the air, but I have the privilege today of hosting the show. I want you to know our phone lines are open. You have an amazing opportunity today to talk to one of the great men of faith in our generation. Our guest today, RT Kendall, is with us on the air talking about forgiveness. And our number, you can call in and talk directly to RT and to me if you dial 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Right before the break, RT told us this amazing story about how he was hurt in a church and a friend named Joseph Tsone came to him. RT, for those who weren't with us on the other side of the break, can you just pick up the story after you explained to Joseph exactly what happened to you? He said, RT, is there more? And then what did you tell him?
He wouldn't let me go on. He just repeated it. You must, I can hear him in his Romanian accent, you must totally forgive them. Until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release
wow.
them, and you will be released. Nobody had ever talked to me like that in my life.
Faithful
wow. a friend. And well, the best thing anybody ever said to me.
Why is it, my friend, that when people have been hurt, the most difficult thing in the world is to release that hurt? What is it in our human nature, and what was it for you that gave you grace to release them? Because that seems actually supernatural.
Well, it is. I think that's a fair comment. I think once you totally forgive, you've crossed over into the supernatural. And the reason I say that is because the most natural thing in the world is to want vengeance. You want to defend yourself. You want
yes.
to report. You want to get back. You want to see them punished. And this is natural. You don't need an Oxford degree to learn how to be defensive to get even. This is the way we're born. It's part of our Adamic nature, if I may use a theological word. This is original sin. We just want to defend ourselves and put the other person right and make the one who's hurt us look bad. And so when we forgive them, that means we let them off the hook. And we kiss vengeance goodbye.
Wow.
And when you do that, you're going right against nature. And it's an act of grace. And it's a wonderful thing when one does it. And those who don't do it will be impoverished and they'll be sorry eventually. Because we cheat ourselves when we hold a grudge. As a matter of fact, holding a grudge is injurious to your health. Medical people will tell you that unforgiveness will lead to arthritis, blood pressure, kidney disease. There are a lot of people that are ill that they could get well if they totally forgave. You know something? About a year ago, I just could kick myself, but I can't remember where it was, somewhere in the world. I think it might have been South Africa. A lady came up to me after the sermon, and she said, when you were here 2 years ago, so that could have been South Africa, I was completely healed right in the middle of your sermon.
Physically healed?
What? Yeah. She said, what happened was, as you began to unfold what it is to forgive, and you went down the points, how to know you've totally forgiven, I just started forgiving this person.
Wow.
And lo and behold, I was healed. And that was 2 years ago.
Amazing.
I wonder how many more times that has happened. People haven't told me. But you see, holding a grudge does something to the bones. It does to the marrow. It does something to your circulatory system. It's not good, even at a physical level. But look, I'm talking too much. It's your turn. You ask me questions.
Oh, no. I could listen to you all day. So not only will I be reading all 60 books, I will be listening to you as well. Well, before I ask you how you know that you've totally forgiven someone, I'd like to ask you what you did after Joseph said those life-changing words to you, release them and you will be free. What did you do? Was it just a simple prayer? Was it a volitional decision? Did somebody lay their hands on you? How did you release them?
That's a very good question, and I don't know that anybody's ever asked me that before.
Wow.
First of all, I never said anything to the people, ever. That's the worst thing you can do. You don't go up to somebody and say, I forgive you for what you've done. Because 9 out of 10 people that we ever have to forgive, you could put them under a lie detector. They don't think people have done anything wrong at all. So it's counterproductive to say to anybody, I forgive you. The only time ever you say, I forgive you, is if they're begging for it. That's different. But when you initiate it, you're going to get in trouble and you'll be sorry. So you don't go to the people. It actually happens in your heart. It happens in your heart where you just make a decision. It's an act of the will. Don't wait for God to knock you down. He's not going to do that. It's just when you do it, and then God honors it. And in exchange for that, he gives you so much blessing that before it's over, it becomes a selfish thing to do. And so in a way, when I say it's supernatural, that's true. But it's also natural in this way. The benefit that comes from total forgiveness is so tremendous that it becomes almost selfish to do it, because what you're going to get back is 100 times more than what you were holding on to by holding on to the grudge.
Right.
But you can keep talking, because I'm afraid I'm talking too much.
No, brother. It is such a privilege that you are talking, and I believe that there are listeners who are both listening live as well as will be listening online who are walking through some very, very similar kinds of things. They've been hurt, they've been abused, and mostly it's because it's coming from people they love the most. That just seems to be a pattern, whether it's in church or in family. The people they love the most seem to be the people that are hurting them. On the other side of the break, I want to talk to you about the life of Joseph, and maybe we can do a little Bible study together in Genesis chapter 45. And I also want to encourage you, if you're listening today, Dr. Kendall is an amazing wealth who not only has head knowledge, but has also lived through some of these very hurts that maybe you're going through. Oh, it might not be identical to what you're going through, but this man's life was radically changed when God gave the grace to forgive after he made a volitional decision to give it back to God. So our phone lines are open. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And I also want to encourage you, the special that Dr. Brown is running this week is a fabulous one. You can go to askdrbrown.org and click on the special. We'll send it out to you, postage paid, and you will be blessed and changed by these life-changing resources. On the other side of the break, Dr. Kendall and I will be talking about the life of Joseph. Call in. We want to take your calls today. Thanks for listening to The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today on Line of Fire. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, who is in Singapore today. And I want to encourage all of you faithful listeners to be praying for Dr. Brown as he's preaching the gospel in that amazing city and nation. Before we go back to Dr. Kendall, we're talking today on forgiveness, and I know somebody that Dr. Kendall is familiar with is a person by the name of Corey Ten Boom. Many of you may have heard the story of The Hiding Place. It's an incredible book, an amazing movie. This World War II stalwart and strong believer was hiding Jews in their clock shop in the Netherlands. And amazingly, they got caught. She and her sister ended up going to prison. You can read this story in the book, The Hiding Place. But she was on a show a number of years ago. Joey, I'd like you to play clip 11. Everyone listen to this amazing testimony of Corey Ten Boom.
One of the great lessons, again, I learned when I was in Munich, and there I met the man who had been so very cruel to my sister. And that man came to me and said, I have found the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I have a Bible, and I know when I ask forgiveness for my sins that the Lord will forgive me. I know that I had needed forgiveness for terrible cruelties, but then I have prayed, give me the grace that I ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And that's why I come to you. Fräulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I must confess you, Catherine, confess you, I felt a bitterness in my heart, almost a hatred, when I remembered how my dying sister had suffered through him. But then I knew, when we do not forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive us.
What an amazing story. It's even hard for me to talk after hearing this. A woman who saw her very sister die at the hands of the Nazi commandos. And Joey, let's go ahead and play clip 12 and clip 13 immediately following this. And then we're going to get back to R.T. Kendall. Listen to what Corey Ten Boom says.
And there you stood face to face with the man,
yes,
who had been so cruel to your sister.
Yes. And I could only hate him. But that love of God changed my heart. That same moment, I could say, brother, give me a hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt the love of God stream through my arm. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you love your enemies. You can't. I cannot. But Jesus in us can. For he fills us with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is love, even for enemies. It was one of the greatest miracles that I experienced.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we are going to go back to R.T. Kendall, who is holding on the line. We've got a break coming up in a little bit. But Dr. Kendall, as you hear those words, what do you think about Corey Ten Boom and all that she went through?
Well, I've actually met her. I've been in that same jewelry store. I've seen the hiding place. And then in her home in Harlem, before she went to heaven, she gave us an hour. I never will forget it.
Wow.
Remarkable woman. And the thing is, had she not forgiven, we would never have heard of her again.
Yeah,
because
that's
God
right.
Would put her on the shelf. And the truth is, anybody, you want a good motivation for forgiving? Hey, God will say, you're finished if you don't. Whereas it's supernatural, do it. He has a way of putting a pistol to your head and leaving you without any excuse if you don't.
Yeah. Amen. On the other side of the break, we're going to go back to R.T. Kendall and talk about Genesis chapter 45.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Then I said, Lord, I claim your promise of Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to me, to us. And Lord, that love must overcome now this bitterness.
Wow. That love must now overcome the bitterness. That's exactly what we're talking about today with our very special guest. I'm so honored that R.T. Kendall, author of over 60 books, but the one we're talking about today is the book Total Forgiveness. R.T., thank you so, so much for being with us on the air today on The Line of Fire.
Pleasure.
Wonderful. Maybe you and I, if you'd be open to it, since I've never had a Bible study with you, maybe we can have our own little personal Bible study out of Genesis 25. I love hearing you teach on the life of Joseph. You've obviously written other things on Joseph's life, but particularly how it pertains to total forgiveness. How can we tell that we have truly forgiven? Many people will wake up, and you've heard this as well as I have, and they'll say, I forgive you. Yet as soon as somebody starts talking about what happened to them in the past, something will rise up inside of them. And then we really realize, well, maybe we haven't forgiven. Maybe forgiveness is more than just simply words. Joseph's life in Genesis 45 is an amazing tribute to what God can do in his son and his daughter who has allowed the work of forgiveness to be worked in him. So would you pretend as if you're in front of 2 or 20,000 people and just teach us out of Genesis 45?
Well, proof number one that you've totally forgiven is that you don't tell anybody what they did to you. You protect them. You give them anonymity. You never tell what they did. You don't tell who they are. You don't hint. You protect them from ever being exposed.
Wow.
This is what Joseph did when his 11 brothers came to him begging for food, and at first they didn't know who he was. And then when he revealed who he was, he made everybody leave the room. And one of the reasons for that is so that nobody in Egypt would know what they did to him.
Incredible.
He was going to protect them because he wanted those 11 to come and live in the land of Goshen and bring his father back and all his family. And he knew if the word leaked out, every Egyptian to a man would hate those 11 brothers.
Amazing. Amazing.
The funny thing is, that's what he used to want to happen. He
right.
wanted that more than anything, for people to know how bad they were to him. But now it's a new Joseph. And this explains why God could elevate him to such a lofty position. He could be trusted with greatness. And he really had forgiven them. And he proved it by refusing to let anybody know what they did to him.
Well, that's wonderful, RT. I don't want to interrupt you too much, but let me just ask you this question. Was this the day after his brothers hurt them? Was it a year? Was it 5 years? Approximately how long was it after he was sold into slavery that he came face to face with his brothers?
22 years.
22 years.
2 years. They didn't know who he was. He knew who they were. He always knew that day would come because he had a dream that one day his 11 brothers would bow down to him.
That's right.
But he thought that that was a recipe for him to be angry, and that one day he was going to look at them and say, gotcha, and throw the book at them. But
yes.
God postponed the fulfillment of those dreams until it was a new Joseph. And instead of saying, gotcha, he actually lets them off the hook and totally sets them free.
This is so proof one.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I want you to keep going. I just want to just interject. Proof one, friends. How do you know that you've totally forgiven somebody? You no longer tell anyone what they've done to you. RT, that's amazing. And for those of us who struggle with being hurt and wanting to tell other people about how we've been hurt, I just really want to exhort you, take just even this first point to heart. If you're feeling like you still want to talk about things with other people, perhaps you haven't truly forgiven, and now is the time to go to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. You come and you help me. You give me grace. I volitionally choose to forgive, and now I trust in you to move in my heart to give me grace to forgive. That's awesome, brother. Would you go to point number two?
He won't let them be afraid of you.
Wow.
They were terrified when they found out who he was. And the first thing he does is to set them at ease and said, come close to me. Come
wow.
close. He just wanted to love on them.
So wow.
Proof number one, you don't tell what they did. Proof number two, you don't let them be afraid of you. Proof number three, you don't even let them feel guilty. He said, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here.
Mm.
Because it's to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And so he set them free even to help them to forgive themselves because he knew how guilty they felt. Proof number four, you let them save face. Instead of rubbing their noses in it, you give them a rationale whereby they can feel even better about it. And he actually said, look, it wasn't you who did it. God did it. God sent me ahead of you. And they couldn't believe their luck. That the very man that they were going to let die, and they never expected to see him again, is now saying, God did it. And in proof number six, you protect them from their darkest secret.
Mm.
The brother's deepest fear was that Joseph's going to make them go back to Canaan and tell Jacob, their father, the truth about the coat of many colors. You see, what happened was that when they yanked that coat of many colors off Joseph's back, they dipped it in blood, then took it and laid it before old Jacob, who took the bait and said, a wild beast has devoured my son. I will go to my grave in mourning. They would rather die than have to tell their dad the truth. Well, you see, Joseph won't let them tell what he did. You can read the script in Genesis 45. Every word is so put that they're not allowed to tell the old man what actually happened.
Incredible.
You protect them from their darkest secret. Chances are, people listening to me now, you know something about somebody that, were you to reveal it, could destroy them.
Mm.
Let that person know. You will never tell it. No one will ever know. You see, that's the way God is with us, as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
So far has he removed our transgressions from us. So you don't ever tell what they did, and you make them feel that they're never going to be told on. And that's what Joseph did. And proof number six is it's a life sentence. This is very important. You don't do it just once. People can say, well, I've forgiven, and I did it once, that's enough. You see, you have a faulty doctrine of sanctification if you think you can just do it once.
Mm.
You know, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. You've got to do it the rest of your life. It's like if your doctor gives you a pill and says, you're going to have to take this the rest of your life. That's the way it is with totally forgiving. You've got to keep doing it. You've got to do it today. You've got to do it tomorrow, day after tomorrow, a week from now, 5 years from now. You're still doing it. And that's very important, lest people think that they can reach the place, oh, I'm over it now, don't worry. No, look, you always have to forgive, even the same people, the same hurt. If you're not careful, the devil will resurrect it in the middle
yes.
of the night and get you all churned up, and you have to keep forgiving them. And then the point number seven on how you know you've totally forgiven is that when you bless them. And that's what Joseph did in Genesis chapter 50. He assured them they'd been forgiven, and he blessed them. They were scared to death that once Jacob died, that Joseph was now going to get even with them. And they come running, and they make up a secret and said, Joseph, Dad told us to tell you, please forgive us for what we did. And Joseph starts to cry. He says, what's the matter with you, man? I told you 17 years ago I forgave you. I forgave you then. I forgive you now. It was something he kept doing it right up to the time that Jacob died. And then as long as Joseph was alive, he kept doing it. And then by blessing them, that means you truly bless them. You know, when Jesus said, pray for your enemy, he didn't mean just say, God, I commit them to you. That's when you're really hoping God will kill them. No, when you pray for them, you ask God to bless them.
Wow.
And when you can ask God to bless them, and you really mean it, you're there.
Wow.
That's when you've really done it.
That is so wonderful.
But you've crossed over into the supernatural when you can pray for them and sincerely pray that God will bless them.
Amazing. I on the other side of the break, I'd like to tell you just a story that happened to me. And it just really goes right along with this, which is why I love you and your book, Total Forgiveness, so much. Friends, you can go to the bookstore, get Total Forgiveness, Amazon.com, Total Forgiveness, or you can go to R.T. Kendall's ministry. We'll give you all that information on the other side of the break. Thanks so much for listening today to Line of Fire. We look forward to being with you on the other side of the break. Join us for the remainder of the show.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. This is Scott Volk sitting in the studio of the Line of Fire radio broadcast. I have the privilege of hosting today while the host of this show, normally Dr. Brown, is in Singapore. I really want to encourage you to be holding up his arms as he's on a grueling schedule, but still will be up late tomorrow night his time in order to be with you live on the air. Dr. Kendall, R.T. Kendall, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you were on the show with us today. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
How, if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about your ministry, or they may want to order your book or Total Forgiveness, can you tell them how they can be in touch with you, please?
Well, you could Google my name, and my ministries will just come right up, and you can see all the books there, but it's www.rtkendallministries.com.
Wonderful. And do you ever divulge what RT stands for?
Right Theology.
Right Theology. That's awesome. Was theology also your father's middle name, too?
No. My father named me after his favorite preacher, who was R.T. Williams, General Superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene. I was brought up Nazarene.
Wonderful.
And, so, but my father named me R.T. I'm Robert Tillman.
Wonderful.
And, my son is Robert Tillman II, and we call him T.R., and his two sons are Tobias Robert and Timothy Robert, so the TR is being perpetuated.
Amazing. Well, R.T. Kendall, it's been an honor for me. You are a hero to me, and I know to many others you might not hear a lot of that, but without us even really knowing that much of each other, you've had a tremendous, tremendous impact on my life, and you are a gift to the body of Messiah. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very kind. God bless you.
God bless you too, RT. Bye-bye. Well, friends, what an amazing few minutes that we were able to have with Dr. Kendall. And the story that he told with regard to Joseph and himself, actually, I can really share in as well, because God touched me in a very similar way. I want to read a verse to you out of the book of Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say, pray that all bitterness would go. It says, let all bitterness go. I think we have a volitional choice when we are walking with bitterness and unforgiveness simply to let it go. friends, I think what we want to do is we want to hold on. Dr. Kendall was talking about this. We want to hold on. We want to hold things over people's heads. But those of us who've been hurt, I am just telling you by God's grace, when you let bitterness go, Jesus himself comes and moves mightily in your life. He did it for me. I was a walking, bitter, unforgiving man as a result of a church situation that happened to me many, many years ago. I felt like what happened to me was undeserved. I felt like what happened to me was wrong. But can I tell you something? When I asked the Lord for him to touch me, he gave me a vision. Now, I'm not one given to visions, but I put my head in my hands and I said, Lord, I need a touch from you. And you know what God did for me? He brought me in this vision. It wasn't an open vision. Maybe it was just my imagination. Whatever it was a God thing. I saw myself standing behind the pulpit of a church that hurt me, and I was asking the people in that church to forgive me for harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. And I said, Lord, are you kidding? They should be coming to me. They should be groveling to me. They hurt me. And do you know what the Lord spoke to me? It wasn't an audible voice, but I know it was from the Lord because I don't think this way. The Lord spoke to me. I actually jotted it in my Bible. He said, Scott, I can't fill you with what you need unless you empty yourself of what you have. Friends, I was filled with bitterness and unforgiveness, and God, by his mercy and grace, gave me not only that vision to show me that I needed to release that, but when I did let all bitterness and wrath, when I let it go, God miraculously came and changed me. Amazing. One more verse for you out of the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. It says, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Again, it's a choice. It doesn't say pray for a heart of compassion. It says put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Do you see that? Just as the Lord's forgiven you, so also should you forgive one another. You might say, Scott, that's absolutely and completely impossible. And can I tell you this, friends? It is absolutely and completely impossible if we try to do it ourselves. We have one who hung on a cross, the very ones he came to save, his own Jewish kinsmen standing there in front of him as he's being mocked and scourged, hanging on a cross. And out of his mouth, our Messiah says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Friends, if we can have that same kind of Messiah-like forgiveness running through our veins, we will be free of bitterness and unforgiveness. And today is a choice. You have a choice. You know if there's someone that's hurt you. You know that if you've been wronged and a lawyer came in, he might prove that you were right. But friends, in God's eyes, he's asking us to do one thing and one thing only, forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Lord, I just want to pray for each one listening today. Father, I thank you for the ability to speak, Lord, over live radio and over internet and archived copies of this podcast. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do for those listeners what you did for me, even as you came when I gave you that bitterness. You came and you, by your grace, showed me what it means to forgive, Lord. I pray that for my friends who are listening today in Jesus' name. Friends, thanks so much for listening to The Line of Fire today. It's been a joy to guest host this show with you. I want to encourage you to go to Dr. Brown's website, askdrbrown.org. He has an amazing special today of books and videos that will change your life. Don't forget to write to Dr. Brown and tell him Scott Volk did a great job so that I can come back and I can guest host again. Friends, it's been a joy to be with you. God bless you. See you next time.